A world-class education, learning from international models of excellence and innovation. Author, Vivian Stewart. There is no perfect education system. Globalization poses challenges for everyone. Every education system in the world struggles to some degree to keep up with the rapid pace of change, and countries face many similar challenges. Globalization also raises fundamental questions about whether the knowledge and skills needed by today's graduates will be significantly different from those that schools have provided in the past. But there are countries around the world which are demonstrating that large-scale educational acceleration is possible, even as the educational performance has been flat for decades. Their success is not accidental, but the result of careful policy choice and effective implementation. Through combinations of national policies and leadership, together with capacity building at the school level, these countries are achieving excellence. As leaders contemplate changes in particular policies and practices, whether in science and math, teaching and leadership development, or early intervention, they routinely compare their country's methods against research and best practices from all over the world. This strategy, known as international benchmarking, has become a critical tool for governments and educators as they seek to develop world-class education systems. This summary explores the common elements of successful systems built by different countries all over the world. The common elements of successful systems. The following 8 areas hold important lessons for the world's educators to consider. Number 1. Vision and leadership. As the role of human resources and talent becomes ever more central in modern knowledge economies, increasing numbers of societies are recognising that education is critical to their future economic prosperity. Diverse countries are making major reforms and raising student achievement. Reforms are often started by a single strong leader. For this reason, the rapid turnover in political leadership in many countries makes sustaining the world vision and reforms long enough to produce the results, 5 to 10 years, extremely difficult. One key lesson from those countries has been the importance of bringing together stakeholders to design reforms that would achieve enough buy-in from teachers, parents, school districts and corporations to withstand challenges and changes in leadership. The vision also needs to be broad enough to encompass the entire education system. Even though systems can only deal with a limited number of changes at a time, if one part of the system changes but others don't, reforms will not succeed. Educational change is often precipitated by a crisis. Certainly, the transformative changes brought about by the deglobalization of economies and the growth of educational excellence in many parts of the world has produced a Sputnik moment for the United States. The fact that the significant global economic growth is taking place outside the United States and that there is increasing competition from well-educated people in formerly undeveloped countries poses a challenge to American leadership and prosperity. Number 2. Ambitious standards. Countries that excel in education set ambitious standards for their students, typically at either the national or state-provincial level. Research has shown that the standards of high-performing countries are similar and that they differ from most standards in several ways. World-class content standards cover a smaller number of topics in greater depth, enabling students to learn something well before they move on to more difficult content. World-class standards also have a greater rigour. The math and science curriculum studied by a typical 8th grader is 2 years behind the curriculum being studied in the highest performing countries. Finally, math and science standards in high performing countries have greater coherence. Topics follow the logic of the discipline, as compared to the arbitrary laundry list of topics found in most US standards documents, which revisit many topics too frequently across grades. It is important that high standards are universal and transparent so that everyone understands what students are expected to achieve. One reason the performance of so many countries is low relative to other countries is that standards and expectations vary wildly across the country, with some states and local districts setting high expectations for their students and others holding much lower standards. This analysis from international research about the need for high universal standards is leading to major changes in a number of countries. Number 3. Commitment to equity. The long-term costs of educational failure are high for both individuals and societies. An equitable and inclusive educational system is one of the most powerful tools that a society has for increasing social equality. Leaders in most countries proclaim their commitment to equity in education. But successful education systems focus on achieving equity in a strong and deliberate way. In every country, children of wealthier and better educated parents do better in school than children from poorer or less educated parents. But high-performing systems use a number of approaches to reduce the impact of social background on student achievement, creating a society that is open to talent from whenever it may come. At the classroom level, there are a wide range of interventions that increase academic achievement for low-income students, especially in the area of reading, the best research curricular area. Research all over the world has clearly shown the importance of cognitive and emotional development in the preschool years and the benefits of high-quality early childhood education for later success in schools. Most countries are therefore expanding early childhood services, either universally or for lower-income families. Number 4. High-quality teachers and leaders. When countries are first creating school systems, they are focused primarily on the transmission of fairly basic skills and are less concerned with the quality of the teaching force than with just getting enough teachers into schools. However, as countries seek success in the global knowledge economy, the roles set for teachers and the demands placed on them change rapidly. These countries need teachers who can prepare students with the kinds of higher-order thinking skills that knowledge workers require, help every child succeed, not just the easy-to-reach, work effectively with an ethnically diverse student population, and harness new technologies. There seems to be a broad consensus that no matter what reform strategy is being pursued, the overall quality of a school system rests on the quality of its teachers, and the quality of teachers depends on the system in place to support them. In modern, diversified economies, teaching has to compete with other sectors for talent. Therefore, successful countries are placing great emphasis on the recruitment, preparation, support, distribution, compensation, and evaluation of teachers, the frontliners in education. But the effective deployment of high-quality teachers requires capable people in the lineup as well. As higher-performing systems devolve more responsibility to the school level, they are rethinking the recruitment, training, and the role of school principals. Schools cannot be turned around or driven to higher achievement without strong and effective leadership focused on results. Number 5. Alignment and coherence. One of the big differences between low-performing and high-performing countries is the low-performing countries' lack of alignment between the goals of the education system and the actual practice in schools and classrooms. High-performing countries demonstrate that there are various ways to produce alignment and coherence. Number 6. Management and accountability. All education systems struggle with the balance between centralization and decentralization, between top-down prescription and bottom-up responsibility. Getting accountability right is crucial, and there are many different forms of it to consider. Managerial accountability is similar to that found in companies, where an upper level of management requires evidence of performance and obtains that evidence from inspection systems or output scores. The No Child Left Behind legislation focuses on this kind of managerial, test-based accountability. While this kind of accountability has brought attention to groups that have previously been neglected, it has also led to the distortion, downgrading, and narrowing of the curriculum, and has not done much to develop lower-performing schools' capacity to progress toward higher achievement. Number 7. Student motivation. High-performing countries employ both intrinsic and extrinsic incentives for students and expect more time on task than is typical in so many schools around the world. Anyone who has ever visited classrooms in Singapore or China cannot help but be impressed by the intense engagement of students with the lesson and by the sheer amount of time students study outside school. An intense belief in meritocracy, combined with an examination system that creates a strong incentive to work hard, and the value placed on education by families as a route to social mobility, in societies where there is, or has recently been, real poverty, all create a powerful motivation to study hard. Multiple paths to success and schools with many different themes have been created to engage all students. Countries that are successful with all students are designing multiple pathways to graduation and to achieving high standards. Number 8. Global and future orientation. Recognizing the kind of interconnected world into which we're moving, high-performing countries are trying to develop a global orientation among their teachers, school leaders and students in their teaching, curriculum and international school partnerships and exchanges. Countries that have been high-achieving educational systems have all also used international benchmarking studies as a way to improve their systems, to move up the educational value chain. The education departments in some countries have specialists whose job it is to understand and follow developments in other countries and assess the potential of those developments for local application. Others send teams around the world to study some high-performing countries or to analyse different approaches and experiences with a specific education question that confronts them. All the high-performing countries have been very active in conducting these types of exercises. Some countries have brought in experts from other countries to act as a kind of visiting committee to provide input on proposed reforms or have hired short or long-term advisors when redesigning some aspects of their systems. A world-class education. Moving a system from good to great entails going beyond top-down prescriptive interventions that have dominated many reforms and narrowed the curriculum to a small range of subjects and lower-order skills. It means focusing on building the capacity of schools and generating a professional knowledge culture in which best practice is codified and shared. Success requires a clear vision and sense of moral purpose, a guiding and persistent political coalition, ambitious standards, and a commitment to quality, effective leadership at every level, a focus on building teacher capacity to make the needed improvements, engagement of students, and broader community support.